The Afternoons with Joy podcast is presented by United Faith Mortgage. Let their direct lender advantage save you time and money.
Welcome to a very special episode of the Afternoons with Joy podcast. My name is Joy, and I do a radio show on Way FM. And today's episode, I believe, can have the power to change our lives. We literally don't even notice how much we worry because it's just ingrained in our lives. But I heard one of my friends on the phone the other day saying, I don't know what to do. I've worried about it. And it clicked for me that I do the same thing all the time, and worrying doesn't do anything other than make me anxious. It doesn't change the situation. And so when I heard artist Baylor Wilson say on social media she was giving up worry, I wanted what she had. I wanted the freedom from worry. And so I said, I have to call her. You might be familiar with Baylor because of her song, Jesus Happened.
Jesus Happened. Every part of my life was changed. Jesus happened. Like a thief in the night, he started taking the lies away.
It's such a good song. You should definitely check that out and listen to Baylor Wilson's heart, because this girl is a firecracker for Jesus. So she's going to give you some practical steps to getting distance between you and worry. And if you want to join us in a worry fast, I'm starting mine this week. It's hard. If you need some encouragement, just reach out to me. Email me at joy@wayfm.com or find me on Instagram under WayFM Afternoons. So here is my conversation with Baylor Wilson. Baylor, I'm so excited to talk to you. Girl, I was washing dishes the other night and my kid was sick. My husband was out of town, and I found myself lost in my thoughts, going down unhealthy rabbit trails. Like, what do I do if my kid gets sick in the middle of the night? What if he even has to go to the hospital and I'm all by myself? Or what do I do if I can't go to work tomorrow? I have meetings that I would miss. And I find myself doing that often. And that's when I remembered what you said on social media, that you weren't going to worry anymore. And I was like, I got to find out the details. So girl, tell us everything.
Oh my gosh. First of all, I just love that you even allowed the Lord to like slow your mind down to even catch yourself worrying. Because most of the time, I don't know about you, but I think we don't realize we're in worry or like anxiety or fear until like our body like manifests it, whether it's, you know, your hands are shaking or you have clammy hands or you start crying, you know. But until that moment, sometimes we lie to ourselves and we're like, no, we're not worried. So the fact that you even recognized it, that's a miracle.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I had something similar happen to me probably 2 or 3 weeks ago. I was driving to one of my favorite coffee shops in Nashville called District Coffee. Yeah, shout out to District Coffee. And anyways, so I was on my way and I started to have this wave of thoughts, a tsunami of thoughts all at once about what am I going to do with my life? What should I do? Where should I go? Like all these thoughts that were attached to pressure and stress, just all this stuff. And I caught myself. The Bible does say, take your thoughts captive. So praise God.
Yeah.
I was in that moment. The grace of God was causing me to catch my thoughts. And I realized that I was going down the lane of worry, just like you did.
And it's a slippery slope. It can lead to anxiety and everything else.
That straight up leads to depression and all kinds of not good things. That leads to bitterness with God or with people, like all kinds of stuff. Anyways, so that day, I ended up texting my pastor's wife. She's kind of like my spiritual mama. And I was like, I need prayer. I don't know what this is, but I feel like this lie of the enemy to try and figure things out is overwhelming me. And she basically said that the Lord was like testing me with waiting on him, like to figure out the next step. And so from that moment, that seed was planted. Well, then a week later, we were sitting at my church with my community and my friends. And we all just started talking about the lie of worry, like specifically worry, as if like worry was a person. And
if they were, they would not have a lot of friends.
They would have zero friends. I know. And something that my pastor's wife said really struck me. And this is where the fast from worry began. She said, you can't truly worship while you worry. Because the worry is to trust in yourself. I'm going to say it one more time because I need it for myself.
Yeah.
Again. You can't truly worship the Lord while you worry, because to worry is to trust in yourself. As a believer and as believers, like when she said that, when the Holy Spirit through her said that, like something hit in the room, which was conviction, first of all.
Yeah, I've never heard it said that way, girl, ever.
Right?
It's clear.
Me either. I know, Joy. This is why this is like, this concept is freedom. And so after she said that, I was like, I started to think, and honestly, to be really honest, like, I've never thought of myself as a worrier or a worry wart, or honestly, I kind of prided myself that I wasn't. But when she said that, I realized actually how often I do worry and I do hang out with worry if it was a person, and don't look to God in those moments.
I think it's so ingrained in the way that we live our lives that you're not always aware that it seeps into the way we think about the future or the day.
Yes.
That it's like subtly there. But the fact that it's we don't have to live that way, it does sound freeing. That's why I want it.
Right. I know. And you can have it and I can have it and anybody can have it if they want it. That's what's so beautiful. Is like, here's the deal though. And this is the second thing that goes a little deeper and can really be offensive to your flesh. But
okay.
Something she said that I thought was really intriguing and something to really take to the Lord in your prayer time is that worry is a lust of the flesh. Because if you think about it, when we worry, it's because we're trying to take control of our own lives. Like, we are in some capacity thinking that us worrying will equal we're going to get something done or we're going to figure something out. Or if I worry about it, then I'll fill in the blank. And so that is the lie, is that when we worry about something, we're actually not able to worship or trust the Lord with whatever we're worrying about, whether it's your kids or your parents or your finances or your next step in life, whatever. So I was just so convicted. And then she said, why don't we do a fast from worry? It was kind of like a joking, like, oh, let's do a fast from worry. And then everybody was like, no, let's actually do it.
I love that you guys came up with this because, well, we just finished the season of Lent where a lot of people do fast from things, give up things. And I said out loud to my husband last night, I'm going to talk to Baylor Wilson. And I think he knows your husband. And he said, oh, yeah, I know her. And I said, I'm going to talk to her about fasting from worry. And he goes, how do you do that? And I said, I don't know. We're going to find out because it's not tangible. Yes. So I think it's one of those things that it only exists in our spirit and our brain. So I'm curious what the process has looked like for you guys. What are you actually starting to do?
Well, I think first and foremost, what I'm starting to do is, like I said earlier, is recognize how often I turn to worry instead of turn to worship.
Is there a question you ask yourself that helps you go, this is worry or this is not? Like, what does it sound like in your brain?
In my brain, it sounds like a bunch of thoughts all at once with stress, anxiety, and fear attached.
I'm familiar.
And yes, I know. And all of us are. Nobody is not tempted with worry. Even Jesus was tempted. I don't know if it was with worry, but I know he was tempted. I will say that the Lord always gives us a way out. There's always a way out. And so that's the other revelation that I was having the other day during this conversation about worry, is I realized that temptation in and of itself is not just being tempted with drinking too much or going too far with a boy, or, you know, it's not just that. It's also being tempted with these mind games of worry and fear, because the Bible says be anxious for nothing.
Yeah.
So God wouldn't say something that we weren't capable of doing with him, with his spirit. In our flesh, we're very incapable, but in the spirit of God and catching, like you asked me, what do I ask myself? Well, what I asked the other day in the car was, is this my flesh or is this the spirit? I think this is flesh. This is an enemy because it's my flesh, because the Bible says the flesh is at enmity with God.
Yeah.
So therefore, if I'm believing fleshy thoughts, whether it's the enemy or me, regardless, it's an enemy, then I'm probably going to end up in fear, anxiety, which turns into panic attacks, depression, whatever, you name it.
Yeah, you know where that road leads. So you're trying to stop it and hedge it off before it gets there.
Sure am. And I'm just trying to like eliminate anything that separates me from God.
Yeah.
You know, I think in our culture too, like, I don't know about you, but I grew up in the South, and I think a lot of Southern mamas pride themselves about worrying for their kids.
Oh, like, my goodness. Like, it's so funny that you said that, because part of the reason that I think God is even showing me I have a problem with this is that I was on the phone with my mother-in-law the other night, and there's some stuff going on with the family. And she literally said the sentence, Baylor, she goes, I worry and I worry and I worry and I don't know what to do. And when I heard it, my brain went, well, worry doesn't do anything. Like, it just makes you miserable, but it doesn't fix the situation at all. And that was like a light bulb for me, that we can worry all we want, but it actually makes us sick. And the situation stays the same.
That's right. It makes us sick, and it's what the enemy wants. See, I think if Christians would rise up with the Spirit of God as their weapon, like the Bible being sort of the Spirit, and believing that we have him in us, we have Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus living in us. If we've been born again, we have him in us. And if we would just realize that worry is a liar and that the Bible is the truth, and it says be anxious for nothing, literally nothing, no reason to be anxious. It says do not fear in other translations, fear not. And that's all attached to worry. And I think like honing in on worry is so important because I think it, like we said, it leads to all these other things that are really dangerous for our faith.
When you feel worry, because sometimes you do get to that place. I mean, I deal with anxiety. When you do feel anxious or feel worried, what is the process of turning that over and surrendering that to God look like?
For me, it actually looks like... running to the altar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the physical, it's running to the altar, but in my heart, it's also running to the altar of my heart with God and saying, Lord, I am not God. That is the first thing I would say is I am not God. You are God. I surrender my knowledge, because I think a lot of times the reason we're worrying is because we want to understand.
Or figure it out.
Or figure it out. Or have control over the outcome.
Yes.
But that's not how it works in the kingdom of God. He didn't say, deny yourself and follow me and you'll understand everything.
Don't we wish it said that, girl?
Yes, girl, I know. It says, deny yourself, pick up your cross. I'm convinced that one of the elements of the cross is probably our own brain, our understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Pick it up and follow me. And like, I love the verse that says, peace surpasses understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Our church teaches that, like, if you can picture peace as an actual friend of yours, I know it's funny to do this, but it actually helps a lot. Like, the spirit of peace will pass by understanding on, like picture a road and understanding's just planted at, like, a sign that says understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Peace passes by it all the time, but yet we get so stuck at that red light or stop sign of understanding, and we just sit at the light. Have you ever sat behind somebody at a red light and it turns green?
Yes.
And they're still sitting there, and you're
like, come on,
you're either laying on your horn,
yes,
or you're wanting to lay on your horn.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so I think the Lord is like go with peace, follow me. And then he's still faithful to bring understanding at the right moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not just like trying to keep us from knowing everything. Like, he's a good God. And in 2 Peter 1, there's like an 8-step process to like loving God. It talks about, it starts with faith. And then the next one is moral excellence. And I'm not a pastor, so go read it. But you're
doing pretty stinking good.
Well, praise God. It's just because I love him and I want to love him more and I want to know him more. And I think knowing God will lead to understanding what he wants us to understand. And
mm-hmm.
this all ties back to the reason we worry is because we want some type of understanding, some type of relief in that moment, or we want to figure it out ourselves and we take it into our own strength. You know,
we're just going to take a quick break from this conversation with Baylor to tell you about some of our incredible show sponsors. There are times you just need help. A few weeks ago, my son was super sick and he gave the virus to my husband. I was the last woman standing and I was struggling to take care of my family and my home and my job. And if it wasn't for my in-laws, I do not know what I would have done. I made an emergency call to my mother-in-law and she started helping immediately. And that is where family comes in. I think that's why I'm so excited for our podcast sponsors, United Faith Mortgage, because they are a faith and family team. It's run by a father and son, John and Ryan. They've been through a lot together and they are going to make sure that you are well taken care of. They treat you like family by giving you their direct lender advantage. That just means there's no middleman. When you refinance your home, it could get you a better rate, could save you monthly and lifelong money. So if you're ready to refinance your home, go with someone you can trust. Go to UnitedFaithMortgage.com.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to AnimalistConsumerAccess.org. Corporate Animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. Licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
If someone asked you as a kid what you wanted to be when you grew up, you probably had an answer ready. But kids who live in poverty, I've seen firsthand, they can't answer that question. It's because they are so concerned with surviving the here and now, finding their next meal, that they can't even think about tomorrow, much less dream for the future. And that's where our podcast sponsor, Food for the Hungry, comes in. They've created a program called the Chicken of the Month Club. And for just $28 a month, you can provide 2 chickens to a different vulnerable family every single month. Here's the best part about those chickens. It's a source of protein through the eggs, and it always improves the nutrition of the kids. They get stronger and healthier, but they also create additional income for the families. So like this family in the Dominican Republic, the mom's name is Noella. They started to sell some of the eggs in the community. And she said, now I feel like our family can set goals for the future. We actually don't have to live moment to moment, meal to meal. We have a self-sustaining job because of these chickens. If you want to be a part, all you got to do is text the word flock, F-L-O-C-K, to 91979. Click the link in the show notes or go to fh.org/joy. There is still such good stuff to come. Back to our conversation with Baylor Wilson. This is so powerful. Okay, I would love to do a worry fast with you, and maybe someone listening would love to do one as well. So if we're going to start the process, will you just give us a couple of key pointers, like sum it up? This is how you do a worry fast.
Yes. So first of all, I would say if you want to join any worry fast, I think we as human beings sometimes can jump all in and say, okay, worry fast forever. But I think if you start small, like just be really easy on yourself and say, okay, we're going to go for 5 days. We're not going to worry for 5 days. I highly recommend doing this with somebody. So if you're doing it with us, then let us help you stay accountable, or do it with your community or your family or your spouse or whatever, and have them, like my husband has been my accountability partner in this process this week. And he's been like, you know, every time he catches me slightly worrying with a comment or a look or a reaction, he'll say, hey, I thought you were fasting worry.
Which can be frustrating, but you're like, thank you. Yes. I need to take that to God. Appreciate.
Yes. Yes. It can be frustrating, I think, but that frustration eventually, I think, turns into this overwhelming peace. I'm serious. Like this week, Joy, you are catching me in one of the most life-changing weeks. It sounds silly, but a silly little worry fast that's not actually silly at all has turned into my brain actually being renewed by the Bible.
Wow.
Like the Bible talks about us being renewed by the word. And so I think a lot of times people think that just means reading it over and over until our eyes hurt. You know what I mean? Or our eyes are burning, or we, you know, whatever. And I think the process of a worry fast is such a beautiful start to actually renewing your mind around the scripture. First, I would say find an accountability partner who wants to not worry anymore. I would say the second thing is maybe physically write down some things you're worrying about. Put like the list in a drawer and don't look at it for 5 days.
Ooh, that's
good. You know what I mean? Or like, you know, like
get them out of your head and out of your life.
Mm-hmm. Out of your head, out of your life. And then I dare you, this is the third step. I dare you to actually spend your time that you would be spending worrying worshiping the Lord.
Ooh, and you can do that through music so well, which ties into what both of us do. That I'm honestly, yes. I have fought some of it with worship before when I have really been struggling with my thoughts and with anxiety and worry. I'll just blast a good song. Maybe Jesus Happens, you know, something like that.
Okay, now we're talking. Yeah. The fourth step would be blast Jesus Happen.
Yes, that's a great way to do it. And it just invites God into the moment. And it sounds like the renewing your mind process is consistently saying, like, God, I'm trying to do this on my own. Help me. And inviting Him to redeem it.
Redeem me, Lord. Redeem my thoughts. I've been asking the Lord to just wreck my thoughts with His thoughts. But the thing is like, I think what makes this hard sometimes is you really have to break up with worry. Like, I'm serious. Like the other day when my pastor's wife was like, all right, let's do a fast, I literally took a deep breath because I was so worried about not worrying.
That's how ingrained it is. We're like, I'm worried about doing a worry-free week. I'm worried about it.
And so how is this going to happen? And that goes to show how, like, I don't want to say addicted, but like how normal it is for us to feel worried. Like, it's it's so silly, you guys. Like, we don't have to worry.
I think that's even a new concept, because you turn on the news and the world is always feels like it's falling apart, and we just see how tough things are everywhere. And those type of things tend to make us feel worried. And so I love that you're saying we don't even it's even a new concept to remind us that we belong to Jesus and we don't have to do that. We don't have to deal with worry.
We actually don't have to be friends with worry. We don't have to date worry. We definitely don't have to make worry. You know,
you're saying it's not me, it's you, worry, and you got to go.
It's not me. It's not me, it's you, and we're breaking up.
Yes. Girl, I love it.
I dare you to break up with worry. Start with 1 week, you know, and if you notice yourself having withdrawals, like I've even noticed myself, I'm like, okay, like, thank you, Lord, for showing me that, like, this was a much bigger issue than I realized in whatever area. So some people don't worry about certain things, but they worry about other things.
Yeah.
You know, and so, but the real deal is we all struggle with it. And so I really feel like us as believers, if we can deny that part of our flesh that wants to connect with worry for fear of not being in control or whatever, we can deny that and genuinely surrender that to the Lord and let Him fill us with His peace. I bet you will experience more joy than you have in some time. I have been.
That's amazing. I'm glad we're catching you at this point too, because are you also saying that there is a peace that comes with this that you've never known?
Oh, 100%. I'm still in it this week. I'm in the fast, and I'm happy to do another week with you. I think I think what this fast will turn into is a week by week worry fast continues, you know,
until you have habits built up.
That's right. And so it's a discipline to and you're like, oh, I just don't worry. Because His Spirit is being built in me. And so because of that, yes, I have experienced peace, like a level of peace that I haven't ever, seriously ever.
And I do feel like the people that we enjoy being around the most, the people who seem like they know Jesus so well, one of the things I always read off of them is that they are present in the moment and they seem settled. They don't seem frantic. They don't seem like they're thinking about the future or wondering what's going to happen, and they're worry free.
Right.
And if I want to be that, it's probably time I start addressing it.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's it. Because we look up to all these faith-filled people that seem like they're peaceful all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, all, you know, my spiritual mama is one of those people, and a couple of my friends too, they seem like nothing bothers them. And what I've asked them and what they've responded with is they do similar things like this. They deny thoughts of worry, thoughts of stress, thoughts of fear. And they actually, what people don't understand is denying your worry can become a sacrifice of worship. Like that is worship in and of itself, you denying the lie of worry.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying you have to like deny worry and then like go to a worship concert. You totally can. That's awesome. But I'm talking about like deny it and then like smile with Jesus because you just denied worry. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or thank Him for something that He's up to.
Thank Him.
That's really good, Baylor. I love this. Thank you for reminding us that we can have freedom. And thanks for challenging us that worry doesn't have to be a part of our lives. Obviously, we'll always battle it, but you're also reminding me that we don't just wake up someday and we live this beautiful, fully surrendered life to God. We're always going to fight our flesh. We're always going to fight the sin that tells us, you know, you could handle this by yourself. We always have to. But you're saying that we can get better and better at giving it over to God faster and letting Him give us peace.
That's right. Something I've learned over the last couple of years is that you have about a 5-second window. I know that sounds dramatic, but you really do. We're so human and we're so like ingrained in the way we are that you have about a 5-second window to give up that sin or temptation or whatever it is. And surrender it and go with the Spirit of God.
Thank you for your time and for your inspiration. So I'm going to start, I don't know, should I start tomorrow? Should I start right now?
Girl, start right now.
Start right now.
That's
okay.
What I did.
1 week, Friday to Friday. Here we go. Thank you
Friday
so
to
much.
Friday. Yeah, you got this. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for everybody that hears this, that the Lord would give you the strength and the desire to not worry.